All right, we're back. Another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about Toni's most impactful people that she's ever met and how she met them.
Just my most impactful people? You just want to talk about you?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is going to be a one-sided talk.
One-sided talk.
I figured you'd take over this episode.
So we've talked about this before, about where you live, not where you live, like you plural, and how sometimes it's really hard to make connections with entrepreneurs or people that are doing similar things in your local area based on your geography. And I have always said on this podcast and other places that it's been a huge struggle for me to find people in my areas, especially in my friend groups, which is fine because I don't mind having friends that do different things. Actually, it's kind of refreshing sometimes. Like I was telling you, I was hanging out with my friend yesterday. She's in like medical sales type stuff. And it's fun because it's like you're not always talking about the same stuff, but it also there's a void because you don't have the opportunity to talk about some of the same struggles and things that you're dealing with that you do with people that are in similar industries or, you know, the entrepreneur space.
You know, I just thought of something and it's probably controversial, but I'm going to say it anyways. I've just found that ever since I found like my people, by going to events and whatnot. Like whenever I talk to someone here who might have been just like an acquaintance, not someone who's like been a close friend for a long time. Like I find myself like not wanting to get to know them because they don't create anything. Is that harsh?
Yes, it's very harsh. That's very harsh.
And maybe it's harsher than it's really how I feel.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just not as interesting to me now. Like when someone's just at a regular job or just, you know, kind of going through the motions or I found my like it's weird. Like the people I talk to the most today are people doing similar things as I am.
Yes, I would. Well, I'm mostly in the same boat. Obviously,
yeah.
Like, you know, I have a couple really good friends that are not in this space. But I would agree with you. I'm curious, because you said you met people at events. Do you remember the first event you ever went to?
Of course.
Which, what was it?
FinCon.
Okay.
Yeah. I was terrified.
Did you know anybody before you went?
I did. That's the only reason why I went.
Okay.
I knew Tom and Miranda.
Tom Drake?
Tom Drake and Miranda.
How did you know them? From just online?
Yes. I met them through this voting group.
What?
So back, you didn't know that?
I've never heard this story.
Yeah. So back in the day when we were blogging, I somehow ended up in this email voting group.
Okay.
And the way it worked was you would put your website in, whatever article you wanted promotion for, and then you would just send it out. And then everyone would like dig or, you know, upvote it on Reddit, stumble it and whatnot.
Okay. So it's a promotional group.
Promotional group, yes. I don't remember how I got in it, but I met all these people kind of indirectly just through their content that way. And then Tom invited me to this Skype chat.
Okay.
He was like, hey, this email thing is becoming a little cumbersome. Why don't you join this Skype group where you can just, you know, message somebody, right? Rather than spam. Like Darren Rouse is actually on that voting group.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you had pro blogger in there. You didn't even know what you didn't even know the gold mine.
I didn't even know who he was. At the time, I was like, oh, okay, nice. He has a blogging site. Great.
Weirdo. He's Australian.
Yeah. So then on this Skype group, you can actually chat and have conversations. And that's how I got to know all of these people.
Yep.
And then they were like, hey, we're going to FinCon. I'm like, what the heck is a FinCon? And this was back when FinCon was like just a couple hundred people.
Right. Yeah.
Back and they convinced me to go. And that's actually when I made the mistake of coming home and telling my wife I had the best time of my life while she was taking care of the young kids. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a critical error.
Yeah, critical error. Now whenever I come home, I say, oh, it was horrible.
Terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
The bed was uncomfortable.
I had to like talk to people.
Yeah. I didn't like anybody there. It's awful. That's interesting. So my first event was Blistem. In 2009, yeah. Which was an all-female, I think. There might have been a couple dudes there, actually, now that I think about it. But it was geared towards women, with the name like Blistem, obviously. And I don't remember where it was held. Maybe Nashville, probably Nashville, Tennessee. And I went and I knew two people who I had, they were readers of my blog. I had become friends with them. We had started a site together. So we had a secondary website that we were running. And one of them lived in Michigan. One of them lived in Texas. And so we decided we were all three going to room together at this event. I was 7 months pregnant when I went. I'd never met these people in real life before. And my family thought I was absolutely insane. They were like, you're going to go to a conference, room with people that you have never met. I'm like, I have a business with these people that I've never met. Like, we had a site that was like actually generating revenue, right? And so that was my very first event that I went to. The first one was Joy Miller. She ran a site called 5J's. And she's actually became a very, very amazing graphic designer and web programmer, which is kind of what she always liked to do. Now she does like, I don't even think you can hire her anymore. Like she's gotten to that level. And then the other one was Joy. Yeah. And then, and Kate Miller, they were both Millers. It was kind of weird.
Oh, okay.
And she had, I can't remember, Cooking During Stolen Moments was her site. And she had like four tiny little kids and her whole site was like, how do you make dinner when you've got all these little kids? And like, how do you, you know, kind of piece together these meals when you don't have any time? And she lived in Michigan and she kept up blogging for a long time. I actually haven't talked to her in forever, but, yeah, so we met and they weren't killers. It was good. And, it was weird though. Like it felt like summer camp a little bit. Because you're like meeting all these people and you don't know them. And it was interesting because I did, you know, I worked with them. We had this other site that we had launched. And then I knew Aaron Chase was going from $5 Dinners. And we had been chatting online forever, but, you know, didn't know each other in person. And then I knew a handful of other people, but not a lot.
Yeah. A summer camp is the perfect way to describe it. And you stay out all night. You talk, you get to know each other. And by the end of like 3 days, you guys are like best friends.
Well, what was funny is by the end of 3 days, Aaron and I had started our own blogging conference.
What? Okay, that all happened there? Nuts.
That all happened there because we, you know, we went to this event. And at the time, so 2009, I had been blogging for about 3 years. I was making a small, like 3 years, a year and a half, like seriously. So the first 2 years were just kind of like literally like a mommy blog, you know, just talking about my kids. Like, I don't even want to tell you this, but like writing poetry. I'm waiting for you to be like, I want to see the poems, all this stuff. And then I switched over to Happy Housewife, was kind of like, okay, I got to make this like a business. And so I was probably making $1,000 a month, let's just say. Definitely under 2000, but it was like, that was grocery money. Right. So that like, it felt like I felt very like successful at the time. And I do think that is successful. Like, I'm not saying that in a negative way. But to go, to take an airplane, right. So the flight was like, let's just say 250, a hotel room for 3 nights, which I did split with two other people, but still that was probably like $300 or $400. And then like away from my kids. So I think I had to hire like some babysitters for a little bit of that time. Cause they were young when this happened. So like I was investing like $700, $800, $900 to come to this event, which was like a month of my blogging income. And then we get there and I went to every single session, like, you know, went to every event, like, which I think is important to do, especially as like when you're going to your first or second event, like go to all the sessions, go to all the networking events. Even if someone's like, oh, I don't go to that anymore. Don't listen to them. Go. Because that's how I met so many people. And I learned a lot, but what they didn't teach, which upset me, was they didn't teach us how to make money. And I'm thinking to myself, I spent money, like I viewed this as like a training, right? I didn't initially see it as a networking opportunity. I viewed it as a training opportunity. And so when I got there and I realized like no one's willing to kind of share their secrets, like some people are like, well, I make, you know, I remember I went to a panel on affiliate marketing, which I didn't know a lot about. And someone was like, well, we make, you know, $2,000 a month on affiliate marketing. And I was like, how does that even work? Like, where do you find affiliate? Like basic stuff, right? But back then this wasn't all common. And, you know, people are in the audience are like, well, how do you make it on Amazon? Or how do you, I don't know if Amazon was around. I think it was around back then, but How do you find affiliates? How do you know what to promote? How does it work? Does the link have to be a nofollow? Like, people are asking like pretty educated questions, and they were like, well, we can't really tell you where we get our links. And I'm like, looking back on that, I'm like, they just didn't want to share the pot, right? Like,
right.
Because anybody can go on to Commission Junction and get a link. It's not, but if you don't know Commission Junction exists, then that information is useless to you, right? Like, well, that sounds great, but I don't even know where to get an affiliate link. And back then it wasn't as, you know, you could Google it, but it's not like today where you Google like, you know, CVS affiliate program and immediately like Impact Radius or one of those places comes up.
Right.
So after sitting there and being like very, not upset, but I was like kind of disappointed, Erin and I struck up a conversation about it because she was in the same boat. She was making money. She had released her cookbook. She was getting media, but no one was talking about how to leverage that monetarily. Like, okay, you go on the Today Show, but how do you make money from that, right? Like, that's all fine and good. And so the more we talked, we're like, we need to do a conference that just talks about how to make money. like who cares? We're like, who cares about the networking, right?
That's which nuts. Was, yeah,
I know, a little bit of a shift of where I've become today. However, I do think that that's very valuable. So yeah, so my first event spawned into me running my own event pretty shortly after that.
So this was, is Blistem still, Blistem's still not around, is it?
So they were around for a couple years, and then they stopped being an event, and then they kind of relaunched a couple years ago, but I think it was right before COVID. So I think it's hard to say, like, anything like post COVID, it's like, well, is it not around anymore, or is it just trying to like find its footing because everything's been so crazy since then?
So I'll tell you who I met. I met Tom, Jim. I met Jim Wang, I think.
Okay.
That first FinCon.
Ding, 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 ding.
And I want to say I met JD. We were in the same car. Like, we shared some car on the ride over because everyone was frugal. We like crammed a bunch of people in a car.
See, I was sharing rooms. That was frugal.
Yeah. And so that car ride, I talked to JD for like, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes. Something like that. And at the time I was like, oh my God, that's JD. And he's so down to earth.
He was at the top of everything.
Yeah. He was. Yeah. I met PT, I think, that year, because it's so small. And I didn't even know he was the conference founder. and all these people actually are in my mastermind group today.
That's funny, from the very first FinCon.
Yeah. Well, mainly because Tom knew everybody.
Okay.
I didn't know anyone. Tom introduced me to everybody.
Okay. It takes that one person. Have you noticed there's always the one? For me, that's actually JD.
Oh,
JD's one, my one person.
Yeah.
So, which, how I met JD, which I've told this story before, but when Erin and I decided to run our own events, we wanted to get a keynote speaker. And JD had just published his book. Get Rich Slowly was like just, actually, he was selling it. We was in the process of selling Get Rich Slowly at the time. We didn't know that. And we were like, he'd be awesome to get for our keynote speaker because, one, JD's a great writer. He was not a good speaker. When
I think he's pretty good. I saw him speak.
He's gotten good.
Okay, got it.
Like, I think we were one of his first places he ever spoke at. We might have been the first. And, you know, we had, our audience was all frugal bloggers, deal bloggers, people that did grocery store deals, stuff like that. So we felt like JD was like a good keynote because he was in the frugal blogging space, but he wasn't like cranking out the deals every day, you know? So he was actually more of a content producer. And I guess when I was not the one who approached him about speaking, but he had sent a copy of his book to one of the people that we were doing the event with. And so she's like, well, he sent me a promo copy of his book. So I'll reach out to him. Cause I've been interacting with him a little bit, even though they didn't know each other at all. And I guess JD it was his year of yes. Do you remember this?
Yes, his year. By the way, in case you guys don't know who JD is, he's considered like the grandfather of personal finance blogging.
Yes.
Yeah. He had one of the OGs.
Yes, a blog called Get Rich Slowly. He bought it back. He sold it and bought it back. Yep. But so she reached out to him, and since he was in his year of yes, he said, and of course we couldn't afford to pay anybody. I've told this. We like made breakfast for the attendees in our rooms. Like, it was bad. But so I met JD through my own event, and then through JD, like, we just hit it off with him. Like, who doesn't hit it off with JD?
Yeah, he's easy. Yeah.
And so we had that first event. Obviously, I met a ton of people at the event that I didn't know. I mean, it was not, I should say ton. We only had like 70 people, but we didn't really want it to be any bigger than that because we didn't know how to run an event. So we're like, well, how can we screw it up for 70 people? And so I met JD, and then JD came back and spoke the next year. And then that's when I learned about FinCon. And so he's like, you know, you really need to meet my friend Jim Wang. I think you guys, you know, be great, blah, blah, blah. So of course I met Jim, and then, you know, it's I met you. That snowballs from there.
Do we meet that first FinCon? I don't think we met FinCon.
We didn't even meet at FinCon. So
right. Yeah. You were on a panel, I remember, with Aaron and Andrea.
Yeah. And Mandy.
And Mandy. Yep. I knew Mandy and Jeff by then because I met them at the first FinCon. Yeah. Anyway, almost my entire network is through conferences, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, I think my entire network is, I mean, sure, now I've met through friends of friends, but it all started from going to that event. And I was just thinking to myself, like, when I was blogging in a vacuum, it sucked.
Yes.
And it was just this, like, secret underworld that I didn't realize. Like, people don't go viral on their own. At least back then, they didn't. They had these voting groups.
Yep. Those were the key, too.
Right. Or, like, these link exchanges. Like, you link to me, I'll link to you.
Yep.
And nothing was by accident. Whereas this whole time, I thought, like, you became popular on your own merits. And some people do, I guess.
Yeah, I think there's definitely exceptions to that. But I would say, for the most part, there's a lot of underground networks that you don't know about if you're not in them.
Here's something that happened interestingly in my mastermind group for blogging. Someone got screwed over by an affiliate in that group. And then you got to understand, like, this group that I'm in for personal finance, it's like the top like 15 personal finance bloggers that kind of own the space.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say own the space, but they're up there. So all of them dropped that affiliate as a result of that. Right?
That's awesome.
And like, you don't know this stuff's going on behind the scenes, but like when you're a part of these groups, you know, word travels fast, and it's kind of how you stay on top of things.
It's also how I found, like, with the networking, it's how you deal with trolls. I can remember having, like, some pretty significant troll issues back, you know, when blog comments were, like, there wasn't, like, the Facebook chatter or Twitter chatter, things like that. And, you know, you had someone come at you in a comment on a blog post, you would just message your group, right? And they would all come in and, like, pile on the person. So you didn't have to defend yourself. They defended you. And so that was always, or, you know, even simple things like retweeting your content, or like if you were in Twitter exchange, you know, they would all be there to back you up. Like, it was very impactful for me to have these groups of friends.
Here's a story I had. It was with Jeff Rose. Jeff Rose runs Good Financial Sense. That first FinCon, I think I met him at, he gave a presentation on how he got hit by Google, lost like 50% of his traffic, and how he got it back. And I think at that time, I got hit by Google also. So I pulled him aside, and I didn't know him that well. I think I just got introduced to him through Tom. And I asked him how he did it exactly. I know he just presented about it, but I was like, okay, well, I know you gave a presentation about it, but give me the details. Because, you know, it was more like a feel-good type of talk. And he did go into a couple details, but he was very open. He told me exactly what he did.
Yeah.
And I started doing that with my blog. And that's actually when my search ranking started going up. I mean, I thought I knew what I was doing until you don't know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Unless, yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorite event stories is our friend Chris Peach, who he lives out in Arizona. Deacon Hayes, Well-Kept Wallet, also lives out in Arizona. Chris had started a blog and I guess had reached out to Deacon because he knew Deacon was in the area and was like, hey, would you meet me for coffee? I don't always recommend doing this, actually, because, you know, most bloggers that have reached some level of success, like, they just don't have time to go have coffee with everyone that wants advice. But if you've ever met Chris, you can see why Deacon said yes. Chris is one of the most likable people I've ever met my life. If you want to ask someone for coffee, you better be as likable as Chris. And so they met, they became friends, and Deacon was going to a FinCon. And at that point, FinCon and my event were attached. So my event was right before FinCon. We had like a boot camp 2 days before FinCon. And we were actually, Darren Rouse was helping us with it. So it was pretty cool event. You participated in that one. And so Deacon had a ticket to my event, and he messaged Aaron, because Aaron's the softie out of the three of us.
What?
And he said, I mean, she is when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. When it comes to like giving people tickets and letting people in, like I'm like, charge them double, last minute. So Deacon's like, hey, my buddy's coming to FinCon. Is there any way I could snag him a ticket for Digi? And I think at that point we were like we were in small spaces, so we didn't have a lot of flex on like being able to like let people have, you know, even sell an extra ticket. And Aaron's like, oh yeah, totally, no problem, right? Like doesn't even know how many people are coming, right? She's just like, oh yeah, it's great, fun, more the merrier. So we have this, you know, and if you're not in the event space, you don't understand that things at a hotel are astronomically priced. So like a gallon of coffee is $105 for a gallon, right? You order hors d'oeuvres, it's like $7 a carat. It's like obscene, the pricing. So we're doing this like opening networking cocktail hour at the hotel, which means it's like everything is like quadruple what it should be priced. And Deacon shows up with this random guy and like walks in like our little closed off space, like no big deal. And I am like, no way. Like what? And Chris Peach talks about this to this day. He's like, you walked over like you are going to kick me out of the... And I was like, you better not be drinking this free beer and free food. But I was like, listen, each person that's here costs us like $100, right? Just like totally out of pocket. So you bring an extra person, that's $100. Like it adds up if you just let everybody bring a friend, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I walked over there and like introduced myself, and I thought I was being nice, right? I was not being nice. Like Deacon's like, you did not have a nice look on your face. And I was like, hi Deacon, you know, good to have you, blah, 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 you know, and then, you know, introduced myself to Chris. And of course he's a smiley, gregarious dude. And you're like, it's hard to be mad at him, even though I'm like, don't take another sip of that drink. You know, that's what I'm thinking to myself. And Deacon's like, Aaron said it was fine if he tagged along. And I was like, oh, Aaron, you know, because at that point I can't really say anything, you know, he's already gotten permission. Right. But Chris still talks about that. He's like, that was the worst welcome I had ever received at an event. Come to find out, at this event, this is the event that Deacon went to where Kyle Taylor from Penny Hoarder gave his talk about Facebook ads, which Deacon went home, immediately implemented, and basically went from making about $6,000 a month to about $30,000 a month almost overnight. Just utilizing this one strategy that Kyle was using. The strategy doesn't work today, or I would tell you guys, but back then it was a very effective strategy and was really like, Deacon will say, was responsible for his like massive growth of Well Kept Wallet over the next like 2 years.
Do you remember Dean Waterud?
Yes. Okay. That was on my list.
Oh, that was on your list?
Yes. Yeah, talk about him.
So this guy came, was it the first year Seller Summit?
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2016.
First Seller Summit.
He actually came, he didn't have a product or anything, but he was just trying to absorb all the learning materials. And then I think he had like dinner with Mike Jackness, right?
I'm not sure. I knew he had dinner with somebody.
I think it was Mike. And Mike went up to him. And I don't usually see Mike this blunt, but he said, hey, like you need to take action on all this stuff. And I think he was kind of harsh. He was like, look, I don't want to talk to you. I'm not going to talk to you again until you have a product. Right? Because he was like, right now you're just like in paralysis. You're not doing anything. Because I think at the time Dean had spent like a year looking for something to sell, but he hadn't.
Yeah.
And I think Mike was like, what, a year? You haven't done anything in a year? What's going on? And he literally said, I'm not talking to you again or giving you any advice until you have a product.
Yeah.
And then the following year when Dean came back, he had a product and he was already doing six figures with it.
And he hit a million a couple years after that.
He did. And he credited it all to Mike.
Yeah. Not that.
For threatening him.
For threatening his life. Well, that reminds me of our friend Natalie, who runs Totally Dazzled. And she came the second year. That was her first year, 2017. And I remember her telling me, I'm going to make it to that $1 million mastermind. And I was like, I had no doubt at all. Once you meet her, you will have, if she says something, you're like, yep, she's going to do it. And sure enough, she was in the $1 million mastermind a couple years ago, last year too. Now she's going to speak at this year's Seller Summit.
Yep.
But I think it's a good example of how every component of an event is important. Like you and I, like we still go to FinCon. We don't go to a ton of sessions. But I will say you and I both went to, I think, all the TikTok sessions this year. Right? Or
yeah, we selectively go now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always, even if you're like a seasoned event person like we are, there's still sessions where you're going to be able to learn stuff. If you're new to the event space or to like going to events or new into this like world, there's not enough sessions that you can go to. The sessions are all so good at these events usually, especially if you read, I would read the description and see who's speaking to make sure they kind of align with what you're doing, but you can easily fill your whole day with sessions. And then the other thing that I think is crazy that people do is like a lot of people are like, oh, I just go to my room afterwards. I'm like, no, like drink a cup of coffee, down the big gulp, like power up. You got to go to dinner with people, meet people for lunch, meet people for breakfast. Like, I don't care. But you got to think you have this opportunity. Like, obviously Mike Jackness, I don't know. I don't remember what Mike Jackness was doing in 2016. I think he just started Color It, right?
Yes, I think he just started Color in 2016, yeah.
But he had some like pretty decent experience in e-commerce before that and in affiliate marketing and
tons of experience.
Yeah. It's like you just get to randomly talk to Mike Jackness for an hour, that's a big deal. Right? Like most people don't get to talk to Mike Jackness. Not because he's like, you know, some celebrity, but because like he's got a normal life and a job and, you know, so if you have the opportunity to hang out with some of these people, you got to take it. You can't just go back to your room.
And here's the thing. You never know who you're... Like, I was in the car with J.D. Roth.
Yeah.
For 30 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I was in the car. I shared a cab with Josh Dworkin and Brandon Turner.
Oh, did you really? Wow. Yes.
One of the FinCons. And it was funny.
So let me just define who they are.
Yeah.
Josh runs the largest real estate site on the internet.
Well, he used to. He sold it.
He sold it, but he started it, let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brandon was like, kind of like, he's not a co-founder, but
he's like the right hand.
Let's say he was like the right hand man.
And he now owns like $1 billion in real estate property.
Yes. Now he owns like $1 billion in real estate.
Yeah. I love Brandon. So I shared a cab with them 1 year to the airport, just once again, randomly, and then ended up in that cab ride. Well, what was funny is I had met Josh like 3 days earlier at FinCon. We had gotten to the elevator together with probably the most awkward elevator ride I've ever been in, because it was me and Aaron and then Jim Wang. And at that point, Jim Wang and Aaron were already working together on a $5 meal plan, and Jim and I were working together on our media company. So we were both working with Jim. We get in the elevator with, do you remember this story?
No, I don't.
With Josh Dworkin and Rob Berger. Rob Berger, who has a YouTube channel, Rob Berger, great channel, he's doing amazing. But they don't know who we are from anything. Like, and they shouldn't know who we are. It's not a thing, right? And at that point, Bigger Pockets was like doing well, but it wasn't like anything where it is today. And Josh Dworkin, I thought I had already met him at the event. And I was like, oh, I think we've already met. You look familiar. And he's like, oh, it's because everyone says I look like Adam Levine from Maroon 5, right? Well, like Adam Levine is like my celebrity crush, right? And I'm like, I was like personally offended at this because I was like, you look nothing like Adam, which I didn't mean for it to come out like that, but it definitely did. And then, so it's like awkwardly silent. And so Rob starts talking. And at some point he looks at Aaron. He's like, you really should keep hanging out with that Jim. He's like, he's going to do big things. It was like, we're just like, yeah, because Aaron's like a nobody, you know? It was just this whole awkward, I was like, I cannot wait to get off this elevator. It's like so awkward. Ended up sharing a cab with Josh. We made up. We're best friends now. No. But ended up like becoming decent friends with both of them, hanging out with them after that, multiple FinCons. Brandon spoke at one of my events on how to self-publish a book. So it's like just from that random, like I misstepped in the elevator, but then course corrected in the Uber. And ended up like developing a good relationship. And it's funny because like I don't know a lot about real estate investing, and I didn't know much about Bigger Pockets, but every time I went to lunch with Brandon probably 3 or 4 times over like 2 or 3 years, and all he wanted to talk about was how I homeschooled my kids. Because he wanted to have kids. He didn't have any kids yet. He wanted to homeschool them. And he just would pick my brain for like an hour and a half. And like looking back on that, it's like the day we had breakfast with Drew Sinaki, and all we talked about was the price of nannies in New York City.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was like, I had no idea he was speaking at the event. I had no idea who he was. And afterwards, I was like, are you kidding me? We just wasted an hour and a half of our lives. Like, we could have had like so much more of an amazing conversation. Not to say that those other conversations aren't important, but
yeah. Well, here's the thing. I think those conversations are important because those are the ones that you remember. And like, I've met so many people before they were big time.
Yeah.
Like I met Pat Flynn. I want to say it was probably FinCon.
Yeah. Because he FinCon. Spoke at one of the early ones.
Yeah. And he had, you know, the I Am Pat backpack. I don't know if he uses that anymore.
Oh, yeah. Does the name tag on it? Yeah.
Yeah. But that's how we met. And, you know, oftentimes you meet someone first, you don't know where it's going to go and it's fine. But like, let's say you meet that person again, like a couple of years later, you already have that connection.
Yeah.
So it makes, you know, getting to know someone much easier later on down the line. Like for me, like I always play the long game. Like I just want to meet someone, even if it's for like 5 or 10 seconds, it's fine. Yep. Because later on, like your paths are going to probably cross again. Yep. And then you can say, hey, we met like a couple years ago. And then that usually starts the conversation going.
Well, that's how I met Darren Rouse. So I met him at the World Domination Summit, like for 5 seconds, literally. Like I think JD or Chris Guillebeau introduced me to him. It was a very, very brief conversation. He did a talk there the year I met him. I was like, loved your talk. It was very inspiring, you know. And I think he might have done 2 talks because he talked about how he wrote his book in like 15 minutes a day over like 3 months. Like maybe that was all in the same talk, but it was just about self-discipline and stuff like that. And then 3 years later, maybe I'm sitting at an event in Orlando that I had just gone to because it was in Orlando. I really didn't have any, I was like, I don't really like this event, but I knew it was going to be a bunch of content creators and it was at Disney. So we got like Disney perks. I was like, I'm in. So I'm sitting there at this table and I look over and I realize that Darren's one of the speakers and he's kind of sitting at a table by himself, which happens a lot with someone who is well known, but doesn't like, so Darren lives in Australia. So he only comes to the States like once or twice a year to do events. So a lot of people don't know Darren, right? They know who he is. They know of him. So he's at a table completely by himself. And it didn't look like there's a difference between at a table by yourself because you're working or trying to get something done and at a table by yourself because you don't know anybody. So I was like, I'm just going to go over there and introduce myself to him, tell him I met him a couple years ago. I'm sure he's not going to remember me. You know, it's fine. And walked over, introduced myself. He's like, oh yeah, I remember you're friends with JD. He remembered the connection, right?
Right.
And we ended up, he didn't know anybody at the event, right? Because it was a bunch of mom bloggers, which is not really his like audience in America. In America it probably is, but not the people he would interact with. And so it was kind of like, he was so excited that there was someone that like wanted to hang out with him. Like just, but I had no expectations. No, like it wasn't, I had no agenda with him. I was just like, he seems like a cool dude. Like, I'd like to get to know him more. He's been in the blogging space as long as I have, which is rare, you know, to find people that have been blogging since like the mid 2000s. And we hit it off. We ended up working together on the event for a couple of years.
I remember that. Yeah. And that's how I got to know him better too, was through your event.
Yeah. He's a great, super great guy.
So that's actually how I met James Clear, like the guy who wrote Atomic Habits.
Yes.
I met him like way back in the day before he was anything.
Yeah.
Before he was anyone. It was at World Domination Summit, actually.
See, I was bummed because I didn't even know he was there.
Yep. He was there. I was walking. Who was I walking with? Maybe Jeff Rose or I can't remember. But he was there and he's like, oh, hey, James. And, you know, if you ever meet James, he's like 6'5".
Oh, is he? Okay. I have no idea.
Or something like that. And we just kind of chatted in the street for a while. And so later on, when he, I think when I started my podcast, I invited him on and I got to know him better. And then later, another person I met, Billy Murphy, I can't remember how I met him. How did I meet Billy? I think I met Billy at World Domination also.
Maybe.
And so Billy started Mancation.
Yes.
And James Clear, Mancation is just like a retreat.
It's for guys. For men.
Yes.
I don't know what you're vacationing from, but
in the business space, we rent like a mansion. It's been in Austin, and you know, he just invites a bunch of guys who are doing different things. James Clear was one of those people. So I actually hung out with him for like 3 days straight.
I did not mansion. Know this.
Yeah.
Well, you left that little nugget out of all of our conversations.
Wait, which nugget? You knew about
that
the Mancation.
You hung out with James Clear at Mancation.
Yeah, for 3 days straight.
All I heard about was you guys sitting in a bathtub of ice.
Well, yeah. Actually, was I in the same bathtub as James? I can't remember.
Did I take a bath with James Clear?
But, you know, like if you know these guys, they're just regular people. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, with events, I don't want any of this to come off as, like, climb the ladder of success through who you meet at events. Like, that is not the message that we're trying to give. In fact, so this is a perfect example of this. Nicole Alden, who's an ECFer, she used to sell sleep. I think she still sells sleep sacks. But she pivoted because of COVID, you know, definitely she's doing some totally different things. And it's nothing that I will ever be interested in, right? Like it's not to say that it's not a bad idea. It's just not something in my wheelhouse. But we met several years ago because we were matched in like a lunch group or something at ECF. And we both lived in the same town. But she was getting ready to move. Anyway, we never saw each other locally, but we connected. And then I ended up this past year sitting on a bus with her on the way to Busch Gardens when we were on the field trip. And we have had some very similar personal life events happening in the last like 3 or 4 years. And we spent the entire, like, we were both like almost crying on the bus, right? Because like our lives had been so parallel with just personal stuff. Totally different, but yet the same. And so it's like, it's not always about business. Sometimes you can just connect with somebody. And even though like that didn't really benefit my business in any way to like hang out with her and talk to her, like it benefited me personally to have this conversation and like realize that like, hey, there's other people that are dealing with the same stuff and are also trying to build businesses too. And like, how does that affect your work and your life and your mental state and all this stuff? So you just never know, like, even if you think someone's like, well, I'm never going to be doing what that person's doing, or that's something that's like super interesting to me. You never know what the connection's going to be with a person that you meet. And that's why I think it's important, one, that you do attend events, and then two, that when you're there, you do try to like network and meet as many people as possible. Someone who's really good at this is our friend Leong, who is in, I think, both courses, but he came to Seller Summit a couple years ago, did not know a soul. Like, and he posted in the Facebook group, like all before the event, like he was going to drive to Miami from like, I don't even know where he lived, Iowa.
Ohio, I want to say. Was it Ohio?
I don't know.
Iowa. No, I think it might have been Iowa. Yeah.
And we're like, get on a plane, dude. Like, do not make the drive. And like people started following his like road trip. And he got there and he was the most friendly, helpful. Like, you needed to know where something was. He had the schedule. I needed a cough drop. He ran to Walgreens and got me cough drops. Like, just... Like, he was just like, he was hanging out with different people every night. He was sitting at different tables at lunch. And that is hard to do. It is hard to sit at a table where you don't know anybody. It is hard to insert yourself into a dinner group or even in a circle, in a conversation, right? Like, it's always difficult. Like, I don't say these things so that you guys think, oh, like, that's not that easy. I know it's not easy. I'm pretty extroverted and I don't think it's easy to do. So, but I think like the impact, like Leong is one, everybody's cheerleader, but two, everybody's cheering for Leong, right? Because he made all these connections with people over the past several years just by being himself and offering like whatever he could to the group, to the conversation, to the situation. And it doesn't have to be a lot, right? It doesn't, you don't have to be like, well, I'm this e-commerce expert or I'm this like content creating expert. I have a million followers on YouTube. That doesn't matter. Like, contribute what you can, and you're going to see like returns in your relationships. And I mean, Leon kind of went a totally different path, right? Well, he basically got into a startup and is like seeing pretty crazy success. And that's awesome. Like, because the goal is for people to be able to like be financially free living and doing what they want to do. It doesn't mean you have to follow this exact path. And so I think he's a good example of someone that like really jumped out of their comfort zone, because I don't think that's his comfort zone for sure. But took a risk.
So Noah just Noah is a mutual friend of ours. He started a YouTube channel and he started just interviewing billionaires. And he just went to this airport and he started interviewing people who own private jets. And
how do you find billionaires? Is there a dating app? Let me know.
He hitched a ride on this private jet because he just asked. Yeah. And the guy let him go on his private jet flying to Boston or something like that.
Okay.
And he interviewed him on the jet. And Noah asked him, like, what's the most important thing about business and making money? And the guy said, your relationships with other people. And then Noah asked him why he got the private jet. It's so that he could travel anywhere instantly and have a face-to-face conversation. He hates Zoom.
I would agree.
The guy, he's like, you have to go face to face. And I believe that. Like, it's much harder to establish like a Zoom relationship than actually hanging out with somebody at dinner or at the bar at night.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can initiate the conversations online, right? Like, we have a whole podcast episode about like how to meet people. Right. And some of it does involve a little pregame, right? Like you're tweeting back and forth, you're doing things I wouldn't say get someone's attention, but enter their space. But then you close the deal on the friendship really in person, right? You need that face to face contact. You need the interaction. You need to have shared memories and moments with people Like, we joke about Jim and Aaron and I joke about, Rob that probably doesn't even know he said it at this point, but like, we joke about that all the time. Like, for years, we're like, maybe Aaron will be somebody one day. Like, you know, it became our like inside joke, right? But I only had that because I was sharing that moment with Jim and Aaron. We weren't on like a Zoom call.
Did I tell you about my Jim Wang elevator incident? Like, the first time I met Jim was I was in an elevator with Jim, and then some girl in the back said, oh my God, that's Jim Wang.
I thought it was you.
No. Oh. Said it to Jim. I was next to Jim. He was wearing like swim trunks, I want to say, or something
like
that.
Right.
And I was like, I said this out loud. I was like, who the hell is Jim Wang? I said that out loud. And then Jim said, that's me, or something like that. And that's how we met.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty
You can
funny.
Ask him about that story.
Yeah. But I think those shared... I mean, we have a lot of shared memories from Seller Summit that we probably can't share publicly.
Yeah.
I remember there was like a handstand contest at one point and a lot of stuff going on. But I do think those are important to like really fostering the relationships. And I think for me, when I look back at all the events and meetups and things like that over the years that I've done, the networking and the friendships that I've made are invaluable. Like if you want me to name my five top friends, probably four of them I met online. It's kind of weird.
But. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And if you guys just happen to be selling physical products or in that space, come to Seller Summit. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.